Wendy, we're just a minute away from talking with Pete Holmes, comedian, actor, excellent comedian, fantastic actor. I guess most people probably know him from a TV series about stand-up comedy that you're a huge fan of.
Crashing on HBO,
yeah.
Which has crashed. It's been canceled.
Yeah.
He has a new book out, which is kind of a continuation of that, Comedy Sex God. And I just saw him on the season finale of Adam Ruins Everything.
Oh.
He's Pete Holmes.
He's a little bit everywhere.
Is he here?
I don't know if he's here or not. No, we are working on him. He's just a moment away. So give an even bigger introduction, and by the time the introduction
is over... I know, he missed like the best intro
ever.
That
was a great introduction.
I don't typically do introductions. And I have to tell you, okay, Pete, doggone it, you missed
a great introduction.
Intro, and you weren't even there for it.
I'm sorry, I missed my own intro.
Crashing.
I needed an intro for the intro to know where the intro was.
I just wanted to tell you, I just absolutely love you. Big fan of HBO's Crashing. I guess your book, Comedy Sex God, is kind of a continuation of that. Is that true?
Yeah, that's one of the things that I sometimes say about it, is that it's sort of the fourth season. I mean, the third season, I enjoy the way that the show ended and wrapped up in its ambiguity. Like, we don't necessarily know if my character is going to be okay. But if you'd like to know literally what happened right after that, you can read the book.
Sweet.
That takes you from that time in my life to this time in my life.
Pete, before you became famous on that television show, I would hear you every once in a while on one of the comedy channels on radio. And in describing you, I always said, he's the most likable comic working today. I hope you take that as a compliment. And how do you become as likable as you are? Because you are. You're incredibly likable.
That's really funny. I'm not exactly sure how to answer that without sounding like a jerk. I do think it has something to do with my face. I sort of look like Renee Zellweger, and there's something very smiley and 90s romantic.
Weren't you the original choice for Judy? They were talking about you being in Judy.
Yeah, that was me. I was going to be Judy. But the thought that I put behind it is, even if I'm a dirty comedian, and I am, I enjoy swearing. I like talking about sex or whatever's going on in my life or not going on in my life, whatever it may be. I like talking about real stuff, grown-up stuff, but I do it from a non-cynical place. That's what Conan said when he gave me my talk show. He said, I like that you're not cynical. You're never cynical. So I think that's what's going on. Even if I'm railing or ranting or even being a little bit like a rascal or being mean, it's never from a cynical place or ugly place. It's always from an optimistic place, and I would say a kind place. It's never just belittling people and putting them down. But, you know, I don't know if people are thinking that. I think they might just see my big Renee Zellweger face.
You also always seem to be enjoying your work. When you're up on stage, whenever I see you, I say, that's a guy who's not looking at this as a job. You're just swimming through it, loving every moment of it.
That's so kind. I always, 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 before I do a show, I'm so glad it's coming through, say I don't have to do an hour. I get to do as long as I'd like. You know, a lot of comedians are like, oh, I have to do an hour. Like, I'm contracted to do an hour. And I like to go out there and just remember that it's a ridiculous job, and it's a privilege, and it's fun. And look out, Valerie. I'm in the car with my wife, and I don't want her to hit this woman. What if I just called you Valerie? And look out, Valerie. But the other thing is, like, my jokes, and believe me, I have the data to back this up, my jokes don't work if I'm not enjoying them.
Sure.
I'm not Stephen Wright. I'm not Mitch Hedberg. I'm not even Seinfeld, in the sense that those are just great jokes. Those are really strong setup punch. And what I'm doing is inviting people to laugh along with what I'm doing. And if I'm not in the space that I was in when I wrote the joke, and if I'm not enjoying the joke, it literally won't work.
Yeah.
Like, the audience is coming to be led through an experience more than I could just write out my material and have you laugh at it. I don't think, if you write out my material, it sort of reads like a manifesto you'd find in the woods or something. It's not really, it's the way I'm doing it. And again, my Renee Zellweger face that sort of makes it comedy, I think.
So Comedy Sex God, when you first hear that title, you may take something differently out of it, but the God kind of refers to real God. You're a bit religious, aren't you?
Well, I hate to say I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual, but that is true. I am not religious. Religion often is an identity-building thing. It's a lovely thing. I built a lot of my identity with that. But it has a lot to do with your group and your building and your sacraments and all that stuff, and that's lovely. I'm really not putting that down. The reason I like spiritual is because that leaves more room for the mystery of existence, which is really what I'm into. One of the things I like about comedy and one of the things I like about mysticism or spirituality is that too many people are walking around as if reality is a foregone conclusion, and I think it's insane. The more that we understand or that we can explain in scientific terms, the more of a mystery it is. The fact that we're just swarms of molecules, and these molecules are in the radio. Like, it's insane. Like, life is insane. And there's some of us that just want some sort of structure to pour that wonder and that unknowing into, not to figure it out and check it off and go, I'm right and these people are wrong and I'm going to heaven and you're going to hell. None of that. Just a way to participate and, I would say, experience the mystery, which is just another word for God for me.
I'm very spiritual. I'm Catholic, okay, but I'm not good of a Catholic as I should be, but definitely spiritual, and I've lost both parents, and I think when that happens in your life, you do kind of turn it on more.
Sure. No, I don't think there's a flaw in the system. Richard Rohr, Father Richard Rohr, who's a Franciscan, actually has a quote on the back of my book, and that really meant so much that he read my book. Obviously, he's Catholic, and it's a dirty book. There's stories about me having three ways and doing drugs and stuff. But the really evolved, woke, beautiful people, I was going to say Catholics, but really the truth is, whatever their tradition is, the people that really get it see past that and see ultimate reality and see ancient wisdom wherever it's hiding. So when I hear stories of suffering, losing parents, or in my case, it was a divorce that sort of turned me in an odd way back towards spirituality, I go, that's not a flaw in the system. Richard Rohr himself says that the way we come to God is through great love or great suffering, and that has definitely been my experience. And what is so beautiful about those two things is they're available and given plentifully to everybody. Everybody gets
right.
A taste of both of those. And that's what I'm talking about. I don't want people to believe what I believe. I don't want people to go to the churches and read the texts that I read. I want them to find this truth that is available to everybody through your life. There's that quote, it's Paula D'Arcy. She said, God comes to us disguised as our lives. And I was like, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about this conversation. I'm talking about this day, this moment. Like, what does this moment have to tell you about the fundamental nature of reality, because the rest is just brain stuff. I would like to experience it and flow with it rather than I'd like to be able to win a debate. That's just an ego trip, is to shame someone who might be Jewish or Muslim or whatever. It's ridiculous. We've lost the narrative. We've turned it into a sport. We've turned it into belonging systems and exclusion systems. And real, true spirituality is so radically inclusive, it's actually pretty unpopular.
You're right.
Yes, it is. Don't you find, though, you can talk religion or debate religion with people of any other belief system, and in the end, it's impossible to change anyone's mind. It's so
yeah.
One-sided. You can try all day long if you want to, but the end result is you're not going to be able to.
No, that's wisdom. I think you're very right on to say that.
That's a very wise man.
Well, I don't really like to debate because I used to be a person that if you brought up religion, and a lot of us are like this, we just sort of plant our feet and get ready to side tackle anybody that might come at us. And I was like that for 28 years, so I have compassion for that. That's why I wanted to write a book. There's something about a book that can sort of whisper in your ear, just like, hey, no one's looking. It's just us.
Yeah.
Like, what if you looked at it this way? But in a social setting, this is why they say don't talk about religion or politics. there's so much, there's a mammal thing going on where you don't want to look stupid, where you don't want to look weak. And that's why you're not going to change your politics and you're not going to change your religion in a discussion, or certainly not a live debate. But if you read some interesting stuff, especially a book by a comedian who sort of slips in all this like strange esoteric mysticism that you might not have been expecting, maybe that's a chance to soften your heart. For me, I would hear these ideas and maybe 10 years later I would finally lay down my arms and have dinner with the idea. But you're absolutely right.
All right, Pete Holmes is on the air with us. Just saw you on the season finale of Adam Ruins Everything. Great job. I love that show. You are kicking off this celebratory night, Saturday night, Harris Theater. It's Chicago Ideas Week, right? Or night?
Yep. Okay. Chicago Ideas Week, yep.
And creativity is what you're going to be talking about. Are you going to be talking about your transcendental meditation with David Lynch? Because I want to go there just for that.
I will talk about meditation. I think you'll enjoy it because I'm very lax about meditation. I think people need to get a little less heavy about that whole thing because it is something that's available to everybody and easy. And David Lynch would say the same thing. Transcendental meditation, which is one of the styles that I do, is very simple and it doesn't have to seem so daunting. But, you know, we'll talk about creativity in the sense that everything kind of circles back to what it's like to be an artist or to try and be a creative person. But I think we'll end up probably talking about a lot of this stuff because even though it's, you know, it's 8:30 in the morning here and I just get lit up. I love talking about consciousness and reality. And instead of debating the existence of God, I like to explore the existence of this, which we don't have to debate. Here we are, as I already said, molecules in the shape of people that became self-aware, and we're floating on a rock in infinity. And that's all just a fact. None of that is a myth. Infinity isn't just an idea. You are participating in infinity right now on a rock that's floating and moving at about, I think it's 80,000 miles at the circumference or at the equator, and then it's traveling at about like 200,000 miles around the sun. It's an insane conundrum, and we've lost it by trying to debate which myths are true, which religions are false, who's going to an afterlife that we can't even guarantee, like, because honestly, possibilities are limitless, and science tells us that as well. Everything's limitless possibilities. So I have a feeling we'll end up talking about this, not ancient texts necessarily, not my worldview or the lens that I like to view things through, just stay here, Val. But this shared conundrum that I like to call it, that's what the book is about, is what are we doing here? How do we evolve? How do we grow? How do we be more loving? But also, how do we shift fundamentally how we view the world? Because that Christianity and other religions have been sort of reduced into being nice or being sweet or being good, when really at their core they're about how you view everything that I'm talking about here, the fundamentals of reality. And that has the power to transform your life right now, not later when you die, but today.
Right. Got to live for today. ChicagoIdeas.com. He is Pete Holmes, and he is kicking the night off this Saturday, 7 to 9 p.m., Harris Theater, 205 East Randolph Street. Take a look at Comedy Sex God, and it's so nice to talk to you. I hope Val has upped her driving a little bit.
Yes, we're looking for the same place, and we parked. I was like, we'll just stay here, finish the interview, and we'll go in.
And Hollywood Reporter says Zellweger is suing you, Pete, so get ready for that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you knew it was coming.
I can't wait to meet her.
Thanks, Pete.
Oh, my God.
Keep up the great work.
Great to talk to you.
Pete Holmes, everybody.
Big fan of his.